Well, he's the one that got us started doing it. He went out and I don't know, he got an airplane. He started asking us questions about it, and we got our airplane stuff out and started flying. And now we're trying to get him out there to go flying. He initiated it all. He's like threw a rock at the hornet's nest. Now he's standing back and watching the hornet's nest buzzing.
Steve's trying to pull me in that, and I think it's wonderful. I just got so many hobbies and stuff to do. I just am trying. I may not make it, but I'm trying not to dilute myself any further.
I know how that goes. Yeah, that can be a problem. I know exactly what you're talking about there. It's a hard decision to make. But my primary hobby has always been flying. Ham radio is secondary. Has always been secondary to flying.
Cool. Well, I had a brief foray. Let's see. My goodness, that would have been early '90s, and a fixed wing aircraft like y'all are doing, and. But I always said if I got back into it, I'd love to go the drone route. And I know you've already done that too. So, but I'm just fascinated with a drone that's big and heavy enough to really make some nice videos. I got a little bitty thing that I can't hardly hold level because it's so small, the wind just buffets it around.
Well, those newer ones, even the 250-gram ones, they can stand up to quite a bit of wind. They can do really good. Back in the wintertime, I was flying out of the sunroom when it was too cold to go outside, and I'd go up 400 feet and take panorama view pictures, 46 pictures, looking up, out, and down, and then rotate up, out, and down, rotate up, and get 46 of them, and then glue them all together, and then view that as a pantograph that you can spin around with your mouse. And that's some really good quality pictures. And this thing's only 250 grams. And it was flying in 14, 16, 18 mile an hour winds like it wasn't even there.
Well, what are some brand names, or where do you get something like that, off Amazon, or do you go straight to specialty sites?
My wife got me that one for Christmas a couple of years ago. That's a DJI Mavic Mini. It's the Mini Mavic, the little one. And then about two or three years before that, she got made the DJI Spark, and it's equally as good. They're both good. The Spark is a little more programmable, so I can do more with it. But the Mavic Mini is under the FAA limit for having to register because it's 250 grams or less, which really there's no benefit to that, or very little benefit to that. But the real benefit is you're not wearing out parts because you're not doing any heavy lifting. It can pop up there 400 feet and look all around and pop back down, and you can do that 1,000 times, and you're not going to wear anything out because you're not doing any heavy lifting.
I got mine for Christmas, and my mama bought it for me. She didn't know what she was buying, but I sure appreciate the thought. But it's the radio just has no range, and I can fly it overhead high enough to lose control of it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound that doesn't sound too good if you can fly it, just not go out any distance. I've been able to fly out like 1,200 feet or something like that. I don't go any further than about 1,200 feet because then you're getting beyond line of sight, and that's when you're starting to run into other kind of issues. All right, so 1,200 feet is a pretty good distance to be able to go away from you. 400 feet is about the highest I go, and these things will do that. And they won't even break a sweat. The little 250-gram one will fly 35 miles an hour across the ground. That's not bad at all. The TBS Team Black Sheep Disco would do about 54 miles an hour. And it's a whole lot more of a multi-rotor than these little Mavic Minis.
How big a drone is a 250 size?
When the arms fold in and the props fold back, you can put it in your shirt pocket.
Something like that, kind of expensive.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much they are now because it's been a few years. But if you get bare bones, you know, with only one battery, and you can only fly like once or twice a day, and it's for only a half hour apiece, so that's no fun, right? But if you get the Fly More package and that, it's getting close to $1,000.
Okay, well, it's pretty much of a precision machine. Well, that's really neat, Dave.
Yeah, that company, when they first came out, they were the ones that had the Phantom that there were a lot of people on the internet making fun of them all flying back home to China because they had flyaways like you would not believe. They had it really bad. And those guys buckled down, those guys in China that built that.
Dave, I don't know if something went south in your radio or not, but all of a sudden I got an extremely loud, constant 1200 hertz tone or something like that. I mean, 1,000 cycle tone or something. I don't know. Was that you or what happened? I didn't hear a heterodyne. I don't think another signal came in.
Did it go away? Is it gone now? Oh, sorry about that. That's my whisper running in the background. Every now and then, Windows decides it's going to reorganize the who's who in the enumerated list of sound cards. And they're transmitting, and Windows just goes in there and says, you're no longer number 3, you're now number 6. And all of a sudden, it starts coming out somewhere else. The sound starts coming out somewhere else. Windows has a long way to go. But anyway, what I was saying is DJI is the manufacturer of that one. And when they first came out, everybody was making fun of them because their Phantoms were flying home to China. That's what they said. They had so many flyaways, it was really, really bad. But then they added optical to it, optical flow, and a few other sensors, motion sensors. And now they are light years ahead of everybody else. All the competitors, nobody can keep up with DJI anymore. They buckled down and they did a really good job, and they've got the best product out there.
Well, it's getting really complex now if you got to get a license and take that test, isn't it?
Well, it's better than where they were headed. Right? I know the AMA sent me request after request after request to write, and who they told me who to write, and they could use a canned letter or you could write it yourself. And the FAA listened, and now some of the things that they were just going to, you know, totally annihilate our hobby completely. RC airplanes, the whole works. They were just going to blow the whole thing away because they knew absolutely nothing. The people that were making the decisions knew absolutely nothing about us. And the AMA went out there and lobbied for us and educated them. And now they let us do most of the stuff we were doing before. We just have to do it in a cautious manner. And that's why you have to have that license, is because that teaches you what that cautious manner is. Because they've got the hardest job to do of anybody in the world. They've got the most cluttered airspace of anybody on the planet. So you got to respect, you know, it's give and take. You got to be able to put they can put your shoes on, but you got to be able to put their shoes on too.
But license or no license, there are crazy people out there, and sooner or later there's going to be a serious accident with somebody acting maliciously or stupidly or both.
Well, that's the way they're doing it. It's a lot like amateur radio. The laws are there if they need them. If you break the law and you do something and something bad happens, the law is in place that they're going to make an example out of you. And rightfully so, right? Because if you don't pay attention to what the law is and you just go out and do whatever you want to do, and then something really bad happens, like what you're talking about, you should be made an example out of so that everybody else can say, whoa, well, that's not the right thing to do. But you're right. You're right. There will be people that do things like that, and there will be bad, but they will also make an example out of that person.
Right, and they should do that. I'm amazed at the idiots that will buy a $5 or a $2 laser pen and shoot it up in the air at planes from time to time. You know, they have to arrest somebody for that. And you just think what's going through somebody's mind.
That is absolutely true. What are they thinking? But it takes all kinds, you know. Everybody's different. So, and some, you know, there's, and what they're doing is building in a process that accounts for everybody being different. And for those that are different to the point to where they endanger other people's, they have a solution for that.
Well, thanks for listening to my suggestion on the other topic. And, We'll just push forward. I had heard you explain that roving noise before, the non-man-made stuff. That's pretty frustrating. I'm glad you guys are on it and not me.
It is, and it's not just for us. It's all the repeater owners who are out there experiencing the same thing. But we'll see what happens. All right, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some direction-finding equipment on three different mountaintops that aren't filled with RF that desensitize your equipment to be able to find. And you're going to have to be in place when it comes up because it's just not there all the time. It comes up and you'll start drifting up and down the band and then it'll go away again. It goes so far down the band you don't see it anymore. But you can see it even with a cheap RTL dongle, a $20 RTL SDR. You can see it with that $20 RTL SDR. So it doesn't take much to spot it.
I just don't know. I mean, is it heterodyning? Is it something, two or three sources coming together causing it, you think?
The best theory, and it's all theory right now. Nothing's been proven, right? So everything's theory. The best theory that I've heard so far is the one that Mike has, N9GSX. And what he's thinking it is somebody's oscillator is like when I was building radios, you had to put your oscillator in an oven. You had to build an oven and you put the oscillator in the oven and it controlled the temperature and it oscillated at the frequency that you wanted to because it was put in the oven. That's the way they're making flight controllers nowadays too. They're building ovens and the oven goes flying with you and that controls the oscillators that change frequencies due to temperature change, and it prevents that from being a problem. But he's thinking somebody's has gone out of spec, and whatever signal they're transmitting, right, that oscillator's moving around, it's floating now. It's no longer stabilized, and it moves around. And the consequence of that is whatever it's being pumped up to or degraded down to is wandering around as well. And that's the best theory that I've heard so far.
Okay, I didn't know. I heard some noise. I didn't know if you're copying me okay or not. Incidentally, today, GPS, at least on an Apple phone, Waze is what it is just going crazy. It's trying to route me off on Woodruff Road, and I'm headed to Spartanburg, and I just now was in Piedmont, and it took me in around the Rosie. I finally had to go by some landmarks I knew, but it is doing some crazy stuff today I've never even seen it do.
I've had Waze do that to me, too. One time I depended on Waze to get me to an airport. I forget what city it was in. It brought me to the back side of the far side of the runway, the opposite side, the side that doesn't have the control tower and all the terminals on it. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get over there from here? Yeah, you got to be careful with Waze. It's fun. It's fun app to have. It's good to let you know if somebody's broken down up ahead or if there's radar up ahead or something like that. It's great for that, but it's not the best mapping tool out there.
I've never had it do this, what it's been doing today. It's always been fairly reliable, and I'm always amazed at how many people are using it to spot policemen or obstacles on the road or whatever. I'm always amazed how many people are riding around doing it. I get free data from work, but I guess everybody else just anties up. But, all right, Dave, I didn't mean to keep you. I'll let you go. You don't want to get on 85 northbound right now. There's an incident ahead. I don't know what mile marker, but I'm just headed north a couple of miles north of the 385 interchange, and it's bumper to bumper slow. So go up Whitehampton if you're headed that way. W4, never give up. Listening for your final.
All right, Phil. Good talking to you. Do be careful out there. I'm not planning on going out. Well, I might go out to one of those tool shops. There's something I needed, like a metric yardstick or something like that. Anyway, talk to you later. Take care. Stay safe. W4DJW. Clear and listening.